Greetings and salutations. This is the February edition of the David Martinez podcast, coming at you on the 17th of February, so just a few days after the celebration of Saint Valentine. So welcome. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. One of the topics I'll be talking on in this particular episode is Valentine's Day. I find that given the irregularity of my podcasting, my podcastitude, I end up always talking about holidays or events after they've happened, which is kind of odd. Most people will talk about, like, oh, Christmas is coming up, so, you know, here's some fun and cool Christmas tips. Whereas for me, it's always like, hey, that just happened, so here's some things that happened to me with regards to that thing. Awesome. So anyhow, that is the predicament that I am in now. So password time. As I've explained in previous podcasts, the David Martinez password is a mechanism that I use to weed out the sheep from the goats, so to speak. Those people who actually listen and who actually, you know, pay attention and tune in, versus those people who just like to pat me on the back and go, hey, they're doing a good job there. Oh, I see you passed another one. Oh, so great. Good job. Like, no, I'm not having that. I don't need another yes man in my life, or yes woman, as the case may be. Yes person. No, yes person. That's the correct vernacular. I don't need another yes person in my life. So every episode, at least, you know, toward the beginning of the episode, I will tell people what this week's password is. And if you want to communicate to me and convey to me that you actually listened, or you at least listened to the first part of it, work the password into a comment or into a fun little sentence. I'd like to give a little bit of a shout out to my good friends, Jonathan Cleed and Miss Ann Gaither, for actually managing to work last week's password into a fun little sentence. I like that. I like people who take the time to participate in these sort of little things. You know, some people sort of don't, and they, you know, account, you know, try to attribute it as a sort of strength or virtue on their part. Like, you know, why would I do that? I don't have time for that sort of thing. But really, it's just, you're just kind of lazy and you don't have the energy to enjoy or to appreciate small and little things like that. And so whenever I see somebody who does, and again, I'm very much in the wrong side of that particular camp as well. I tend not to make as much time as I should for, you know, fun little games and, you know, and participate in fun and quirky little things like that. So when I see people who do, I like that and I appreciate that in them. So to, Mr. Jonathan Cleed and Miss Ann Gaither, thank you so much for participating in my little game. So, all right, tune in, boys and girls. This week's password is balloon animal. Balloon animal. So if you can work the password balloon animal, if you just want to post it into a comment, great. Or if you want to work it into a fun or quirky little sentence, even better. And, you know, maybe I'll mention you on the air, so to speak. I know you're all pining for a chance to get an honorable mention on my show. So I'm going to give you that opportunity. You know, those people who actually managed to mention it in a sentence, I'd be happy to mention your name, in this podcast. So for whatever that's worth, you know, there it is. So like I was saying earlier, Valentine's Day just happened. It was this past Friday. It was very nice. I like Valentine's Day. I'm going to sort of set the stage right now. I'm not a Valentine's Day hater. I'm not someone who gets really negative about it. I actually like it. I enjoy the tradition of it. I enjoy, you know, however deep or however far that goes. I like the idea of special occasions, of setting aside a particular time on a particular day every year to remember, to realign my relationship and to be romantic and to just, you know, set aside that bit of time. It's sort of always there. And yes, you should, you know, not just, you know, reserve being romantic and special and doing things with your significant other on just one day of the year, but to have a day where it's always sort of there and you can always sort of count on it, I like that. And I do enjoy it. And I'm not, you know, one of those Valentine's Day haters, so to speak. Anyhow, so my wife and I, we went out to this nice little place we like to go to called Cafe Santorini in Pasadena. Very nice little Mediterranean-y kind of joint off of Union Street, like by Union and Fair Oaks, right by that really expensive baller IPIC theater. Cool place. Great first date kind of place too, by the way. For those of you who are still kind of on the scene, so to speak. So we get there and we sit down, and it's a very nice little place. And like a lot of these restaurants sort of do, which is kind of a bummer, they have like one of those limited and expensive Valentine's Day sort of menus. But we found something that we liked and we sat down and we're enjoying our meal. Unfortunately, because it's so crowded there, right next to us, you know, as if we were sitting with them at the same table, although they were kind of far away, was another young couple on a date. A bit younger than us. I would say probably somewhere in the early to mid 20s kind of area. And there was a nice young girl and another person, which I'm going to start for the purposes of this conversation, I'm just going to call bad date guy. So let me paint the picture here. The girl, sweet, perhaps a little plain, we'll just say. Nice, seemingly polite, very sweet, you know, again, very seemingly sweet, young lady who seems, you know, the kind of person who you might endear to automatically. Dude is, I would say probably reasonably good looking, wearing like a nice, you know, sort of suit with like, you know, a dress shirt, unbuttoned, no tie, dark hair, slick, polished. And spent most of the evening talking about himself. Was just going on. And like, you know, because we're so close, my wife and I can't help feel like we're kind of intruding on the conversation, but at the same time also feeling intruded upon by this person who's talking this noticeably louder than anybody else that we're sort of surrounded with. And also just, you know, in this completely one directional conversation, you know, he's just going on and on and on. She's just kind of like, oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, that's nice. Yeah. No, that's pretty cool. You know, being a sweetheart and being polite. And he's just, oh my gosh, he was such an a-hole the whole time. So some of my favorite nuggets from that particular conversation were things like, at some point in the conversation, he's talking about, you know, I guess he lives in Pasadena. So he's like, yeah, you know, I like Pasadena. I feel like Pasadena is like Orange County with a brain, you know? So there was that nugget. I'm not going to go too far into, you know, Orange County versus, you know, LA County or the Inland Empire, all these other places here within Southern California that all seem to have some odd beef with each other. But I think that was kind of a dumb thing to say. Whether you like Orange County or not, just to sort of categorically just say like, oh, that's just a stupid county. That was kind of stupid. You know, at the end of the day, they obviously do some things right. I think it was the city of Irvine was voted the best run city in the country. Their police force is the most educated police force in the city, you know, in the country. So obviously they're doing some things right. You know, maybe my wife and I wouldn't, you know, want to live, you know, somewhere in Orange County for various reasons. But okay, it's another place. And there's some things we like about it, some things we don't. But then to sort of categorically say like, oh, our little, you know, pseudo metropolitan city of Pasadena is like this other whole region, but with a brain, was just kind of a dumb and arrogant thing to say. And what was even funnier about that was he was so impressed with that little nugget that later on, my wife is over in the parking lot. She's getting something from the car while we're, you know, going to go catch a movie. And she, out of the, you know, out of her ear where you hear things, the hearing organ, she hears someone say that same exact sentence, which is, yeah, like, you know, I think like Pasadena is like Orange County with a brain. And she's like, what? And she looks over and it's that same a-hole giving that same exact line to the same exact person. He was so impressed with that, with the insight and that little and that nugget there, that he had to say it over again. So there was that. Some point in the evening, he was going on about himself again, and he says something to the effect of, you know, I just feel like I'm something of a rule breaker, you know, but like not totally, but you know, like I don't fit in perfectly with, you know, every little blah, blah, blah. Which, by the way, to some extent, everybody feels like that. Nobody feels like, no matter how much they're sort of perceived one way, I feel like almost nobody really does feel like they completely fit in with any particular group or category that other people might necessarily sort of group them in with. So, you know, he's sort of doing that again. And then at some point, he starts talking about SQL or SQL, which for those non-IT or non-programming types is just a language that is used to query information from certain types of databases. But I remember it's something that I do know a bit about. Having, being in IT and also having written various pieces of software that actually, utilize this language to varying degrees. But he's sort of talking about it in a way that is very obviously designed to make it sound more impressive and more complex than it really is. And again, as somebody like me who actually knows a bit about it was sort of like, yeah, you are just such an a-hole. You are so full of crap. Even the tone in his voice, even if I couldn't hear the specific things that he was saying, you could just hear that, like, I'm just so full of crap tone in his voice that you would just, even without knowing the exact content of his speech, you could just hear the tone in his voice and go like, yeah, that guy's full of crap. That's somebody who I can't take seriously at all, ever. There was that story, and that was, it wasn't the highlight of the night. We actually ended up seeing the Lego movie, which is really cool. I recommend anybody seeing it. And if you do see it, you will, like myself, probably be inclined to purchase the, track they play in the beginning and the end of the film, which is called Everything is Awesome, which I found later on was actually, done by Tegan and Sarah with the Lonely Island guys. Sorry, I'm getting off track here. That ended up being kind of a funny, I don't say highlight, but a funny noteworthy little thing about our evening is, Mr. Bad Date Guy. And this poor girl, I'm looking at her thinking like she must, in whatever work or other social circle that they must have met in, maybe by comparison was some kind of big fish that she at the time maybe felt lucky to get. And now she goes on a date with this guy and he can do nothing but just be a jerk and talk about himself the whole time. And I hope that she had enough self-esteem and sense to see that and go like, okay, maybe he seemed like a cool, kind of person when I asked him out or he asked me out or whatever, but this is obviously going to be the last time I'm going out with this guy. So I can only hope for her sake that that was it. So anyhow, that was kind of funny and or possibly interesting. So Valentine's Day, Valentine's Day haters. Inevitably, this is one of those holidays where I feel like every holiday has some kind of haters. People always have to, put their oar in or just, give me some pedantic piece of historic nonsense that tells me like why I shouldn't celebrate it or why it's bad or whatever. And of course, Valentine's Day is no exception. So inevitably you always have like all these Valentine's Day hater type people. And they usually come in one of two broad sort of categories. Either those who, just sound lazy to me or those people who sound bitter. The lazy people usually, say something like, why do I need like a special day to tell my wife / girlfriend or / whoever, whatever the situation may be, that I care about them? Why do I need a special day? Like, every day should be, a special day, which is basically tantamount to saying that no day is really special for you. Granted, I'm sure there are some people in, enviable fairy tale like relationships where every single day they're together is this wonderful experience of just lavishing affection and encouraging words and gifts. And, every day is just, every day is what the rest of us, slobs and idiots would consider a Valentine's Day. But for them, it's so every day that the idea isolating one particular day as being special for romantic, sort of purposes is ludicrous to them. And to those people, I can only say, hey, good job. For the rest of humanity, the vast majority of people out there, I like having a particular and special day. Granted, obviously, you don't just necessarily want to do something special and romantic for your significant other, on February 14th, and February 14th alone. My wife and I try to the best of our abilities, honor like a weekly sort of date night where we try to go out and, spend some time together. And obviously, there are other things like anniversaries, and we actually, to some extent, celebrate a dating anniversary, little things like that. And everybody has, depending on their own, romantic or sentimental sort of senses, as well as their own schedules, try to figure that stuff out for themselves. And obviously us, like most people, probably could make more time for this sort of thing. But that being said, I'm not annoyed at the idea of, you know, February 14th rolls around and like, oh, hey, there's a day where we can, you know, maybe set aside some time, realign, you know, be romantic and just enjoy each other's company on a particular day. I feel like people who tend to try to take that stance, again, basically usually don't really, are just annoyed at any prospect of like, you know, having to just sort of go out of their way to do something special for their significant other. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the day is coming. It's like, oh, great. Now I got to some reservations and some, you know, this and that. And like, you know, like Valentine's Day is really just invented by the card companies and big chocolate, which, by the way, I love when people will take any industry and, you know, put the word big in front of it as if like collectively they make this huge, you know, sort of entity which controls everything. Big, you know, big dairy or big, you know, granola or, you know, whatever. So big chocolate and Valentine's Day was invented by all these corporations to like tell us, you know, what we need to, you know, how we need to be to each other. And it's just stupid. So like as a protest, no, you're just annoyed at the prospect of really having to get it together for a particular day that you knew was coming, that comes at the same day or time every year. And so, so you sort of fall back on the stance like, well, shouldn't every day be special? Which again is tantamount to saying then really no day is special. So there are those types. And then there are other people who just come off as bitter. And that's obvious, you know, for whatever reason, you know, they are put off by seeing other people in relationships either or, you know, in happy or at least what they perceive or project to be happy relationships, enjoying each other's company on a particular day. And they get all whatever about that. So they do things like, I'm going to have an anti-Valentine's Day. Or, you know, those sort of things. And like, honestly, like if you're that put off by other people's happiness, what's wrong with you? You know, it's not their fault. You know, I'm just so sick of, you know, people just posting all their, you know, relationships and just and them posting their relationships on me and like on Facebook and this other stuff. You know what? That's your problem, isn't it then? That's your complication. That's your damage. And I get it. Sometimes some of us maybe, you know, may have something that happened to us on Valentine's Day. Maybe some really awful or tragic or hurtful thing happened to us on Valentine's Day. And so it is not a time of celebration for us necessarily. Or maybe, again, it's just our position in life happens to be one in which that's just not our holiday. Fine. It's not your holiday. That's not your day. Doesn't mean you have to go and, you know, sort of poop on everyone else's parade. Just keep it to yourself. That's just your thing. So just, you know, leave the rest of everybody out of it. You know, you don't have to, you know, make it as if that's some big, you know, whatever to your credit. No, not really. Just let it go. If it's not your holiday, then it's not your holiday. Let everyone else, let all the sort of normal and healthy people. Well, that's kind of mean. Let everybody else who does enjoy it, just enjoy it for what it is to them and not have to be, you know, inject all of your weirdness and bitterness into it. Maybe not necessarily weirdness, but at least your bitterness into it. I don't know. Again, I don't want to necessarily speak for everybody who sort of has some kind of beef or complication with Valentine's Day. But, you know, at the end of the day, however legitimate or illegitimate your sort of claim is on that, just keep it to yourself. There are a lot of people who do enjoy it. So you don't need to, you know, crap on everyone's parade just because you've got a beef with it. That's all I'm saying. So anyhow, on the topic of, or sort of loosely in, I was checking the time here, romantic or whatever sort of, I'm trying to segue here too. I'm trying to make a very bad segue here. Physical affection. There it is. There's the topic. Physical affection. So, I am, for those of you who know me, I am something of a physically affectionate person. I like physical affection with people, especially people who whose company I like and who I actually genuinely love and care about, whether romantically or platonically, whether they're, my wife or simply good friends or family members. I like and enjoy physical affection with people that I care about. And not just physical affection, but also people who are just warm and affectionate and inviting sort of people. I really like that and I really resonate with that sort of thing. A couple of people have imposed upon me this idea. They got it from some book, and I couldn't even begin to tell you where it comes from, but this whole idea of love languages. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that, where, you know, everybody has, to some extent, to some varying degree, you know, one or two languages or things that when they care about somebody, or when somebody, you know, or when they care about somebody, these are the things that they tend to do that communicate that love and affection. And similarly, when people who they like or who they, you know, love or care about do these things to them, it resonates with them the most. So things like, you know, physical affection or quality time or gift giving or, you know, words of encouragement. I don't know if there's any sort of more that belong to that category, but those were sort of the main ones that I remember. And for me, physical affection is sort of a big one. You know, when I get solicited or sometimes even unsolicited shows of physical affection from people that I actually like and care about, it's meaningful for me. It sort of resonates. And I like it very much. Like this past weekend, I spent a day with my cousins from my dad's side of the family. And I love those guys. All those guys on that side of the family, you know, my cousin Andrew, my cousin Jonathan, my uncle Caesar, my aunt Deborah, all those folks are really wonderful, wonderful people. They love to joke. They love to hang out. They love to eat. They love to drink. And, you know, they're not shy with their hugs and even their kisses. And one of the things I've always sort of liked to some extent is, you know, especially, you know, some of my, oh, and my cousin Anthony, it was his birthday. So that it was, you know, he's definitely part of that group as well. But what I like about this, you know, about my family on that side is that when they hug me, even the burliest and, you know, most sort of, you know, manliest of men of them will give you a big warm hug and a kiss on the cheek. And I love that. Because that is, especially as a man, that is not a sign of affection that you necessarily give to a lot of other men. You know, you don't give a kiss on your cheek, a kiss on the cheek to some, you know, to your bro that you work with or whatever. Like that is a type of physical affection that is reserved for family members or perhaps just really, really close, close friends. And so, you know, when I receive stuff like that, it's, you know, it does, it resonates. And it sort of definitely warms me up inside. Similarly, like a while back, and this is funny, I'm not going to mention this person's name, but I was at church and I was having a conversation with some other people, and this guy who I'm friends with and I really like, whose company I really enjoy at church, he starts walking past me, and just as he passes me, and I understand he was probably doing this a bit of as a joke, but he grabs my face and with his scruffy, you know, sort of, you know, yesterday shadow kind of, you know, whiskery face, gives you a big kiss on the cheek and then just walks away without saying a thing. And I know he was trying to be funny, like, you know, give some sort of gesture, which was affectionate, but also made me feel a little uncomfortable. But I actually liked that. Like, it was actually fun for me to receive some unexpected and unsolicited, you know, form of physical affection from somebody who I actually liked. So things like that, as silly as it sounds, as weird as that might sound, I actually endear to that. Similarly, you know, when I go to restaurants or whatever, and like, you know, some warm and friendly older woman, you know, in her sort of casual, maybe even almost absent-minded sort of way, calls me hun and maybe puts her hand on my shoulder, or maybe doesn't, but it's sort of very warm and sweet with me. I like that. And that resonates very well with me. And I'm like, oh, she's the kind of person whose company I really enjoy. Or, you know, I go to, you know, Five Guys or someplace and the guys there are like, you know, hey, what's going on? And they greet you in a way that's very familiar. And they ask you about, hey, how was work? Oh, you know, getting off a little late tonight, man. Hey, aren't you? And then, you know, they talk to you as if they're familiar or they know you. And it's that sort of thing. It's that sort of warmth in inviting and familiar and casual kind of, you know, sense from people that I really, really, really enjoy. The flip side to that coin is that when I feel like people are being warm or inviting or physically affectionate with me in a way that I feel like is disingenuous or is being manipulative, I really, really don't like that. It really makes me bristle when I feel like people are doing that to me. So like, for example, if I'm talking to a salesperson and they start giving me this whole like, hey, brother, God bless, you know, oh, just be blessed, man. And like, hey, how's your family? You know, and I can just smell the stink of disingenuousness on everything that they're saying. Like, I get really mad. Like, Who are you? How dare you talk to me like that? You don't, we're not friends. You don't care about me. Don't use that thing that really warms me up and try to manipulate me into a sale, you jerk. It just bothers me so much. Or, you know, if I go to a bar or a restaurant and some young, very cute girl, you know, similarly, you know, puts her hand on my shoulder and says, you know, something like, can I get you anything, sweetie? In a way that's very flirtatious, not very flirtatious, but that just smells of, you know, flirtatiousness. I similarly get really kind of bristly, like, don't manipulate me. Don't be flirty and cute with me because you think that's going to give you a better tip. Like, what's the matter with you? I don't know you. You don't really care about me. Not like these other people who I gave in the example care about me either, but at least they aren't, there's not so much of a casual, not so much of a conscious effort to manipulate me. Or at least it doesn't feel that way. Whereas other people, when you get that strong sense of just being manipulated, like, it really bothers me. And I think partially because it is maybe an area that, because it means something to me, I feel kind of maybe vulnerable in it in that way. And so when people kind of try to exploit it, like, I get really mad about it. But yeah, I don't know. My wife chalks it up to just my women issues, but which that may also be true. But no, like that, you know, faux affection, which I'm going to call it, that just bothers me so much whenever that sort of happens to me. But for those of you listening who are friends, which I imagine all of you must be, or close to me, if you're on the fence about the hug or whatever it is, don't be, because if you are somebody who I actually like, whose company I actually enjoy, and who I actually care about, I love it. I love that sort of physical affection. So just keep going with it. All right. Well, it's coming to the end of my time here. I want to tell you guys thank you so much. So I'm going to try something right now. I was just thinking about this. Sometimes I don't really, you know, I write down topics throughout the week as far as things that I'd like to speak on. And then when I come down to sit down and actually talk about it, I'll pick a couple of two or three things to talk about. And then I'll start just go on about it. But, maybe some more user or listener driven stuff might be fun. So I'm going to throw a couple topics out there that I've written down here. And if any of you guys think any one of those would be particularly interesting or funny or whatever, I'll go with that. Any one or two any topic that gets the most, I don't know, votes, we'll call them. I'll work that into my next podcast. So let's go ahead and do that. So, some potential topics are, people in the medical profession and, their tendency toward TMI, giving too many odd or gross details about the things they experience at work. That's a funny little phenomenon that I think a lot of us run into from time to time. Ooh, I had this PSA that I wanted to give out about, when you're, you know, on the road and you're driving and there's some really grossly reckless a-hole driver, you can call 911 to report them. So I wanted to talk about that. Let's see what else we got here. Chiropractors are a racket. Maybe don't want to talk about that. My wife just went to the chiropractor. I've had this reoccurring dream about being enrolled in school and missing classes. That is another one we can talk about. About how I wish people would stop saying that things are as addictive as heroin is, because they aren't. Let's see here. What else have we got? People who admit faults that are pretty much compliments, like, oh, I'm such a perfectionist, or, you know, I'm just such a giver. If I had one fault, it's that I don't think of myself enough. Ooh, so I could talk about that. people who say things like, I'm thinking more clearly than I ever have before. I'm not sure if that's broad enough of a topic. But anyhow, so those are some potential topics. If any of you guys think like any one of those would be particularly funny or particularly interesting for me to talk about, I will do that. I will make at least one of my next podcast topics a user-driven kind of thing. So feel free to either Facebook me or post a comment on the podcast, on the actual website, or any other way that, you know, all of you know how to get a hold of me. And whichever one topic which seems to receive the most, you know, sort of votes or when people mention the most, I will make sure I work that topic into next episode, in the next podcast episode. So anyhow, this is David Martinez signing off. I hope you guys have a wonderful month, because that'll probably be about that long before I get on this again. And I look forward to speaking to you again. Take care.